The following podcast has the explicit tag. It may contain mature language, situations and violence, and graphic descriptions. Listener discretion is advised.
Welcome to A Tale of Blood and Stone, a Shadow of the Demon Lord actual play, starring Danny Neary as Eva, a Cambion desperate to escape her ancestry's fate, with Michael Waldschlager III as Four, a centaur-shaped clockwork whose pure heart is leading his quest to find his lost brothers. Also starring Chris Berlew as Tyrell, a human whose frail body is fueled by his lust for power. And guiding us through all the corruption and insanity, our Game Master, John Neary.
Uncharacteristically, Four will actually, like, kind of grab Christopher by the scruff of his shirt.
Nice.
And lift him toward his hindquarters where he could take a seat. And Four will run toward the old farmer's abode.
He's on there. He was taken by surprise, but he's strong and he's able to kind of, you know, get used to it. And you guys gallop off and you get to the farmhouse. And you see there's a lot of people there. Some people are working. You recognize all of them. They're just doing odd jobs around the farm. And Christopher directs you to go just right up to the house and head inside the house.
Will you not come with?
Oh, he asked for you. I wouldn't deign to assume I could be there.
It's understood. Thank you for informing me, Christopher.
Oh, it's no problem. I hope he pulls through. We all really need this. And, you know, he's referring to the sickness, referring to the fact that a lot of these people, these are their jobs and all of that, so.
Four will turn toward the abode and, again, delicately make his way inside.
All right. What name?
This will be it, Gerard. I'm writing it down.
So you would walk in and make your way to his room, which is on, it's not like a multi-level house, it's just like a basic farmhouse, and you can get to his bedroom, no problem. He is lying there, and he looks bad. Looks worse than you remember. He's coughing very dryly, very hoarsely, seems very gaunt. There's a glass of water next to his bed, and it's untouched. And he sort of rolls over when he sees you. Oh, Four! Oh, I'm glad you've come. How are you? What is that smell?
The smell is a fragrance I purchased today. Well, I attempted to purchase. Lyris would not allow me to pay.
He smiles and he says, oh, that's wonderful. You should do things like that for yourself more often, you know. You do way too much for everyone without accepting any payment. How are you, my boy?
I am functioning within my parameters.
Yes, that's the answer that I was expecting. But how are you feeling?
I feel normal, as I do every day.
I was wondering, have you ever been to Esker in your travels?
Four stops and kind of straightens up briefly as though he's trying to remember something.
He reaches slowly, and you see his hand comes out, and it's very thin, and he gestures towards a piece of paper that's on his bedside table. He says, this is a letter from one of my friends up in Esker. He describes people who are getting sick in the same manner that I have contracted. It came on quick, and I am not so certain that it is entirely unrelated. I would ask another favor of you.
But of course. I am happy to help, Gerard.
You seem to be very hearty and strong. I desire to know if Esker has determined if there is any sort of treatment for this ailment. It is not looking good for me, Four.
You cannot put water in your mouth?
I can, but it does not help.
And you believe a cure can be found in Esker?
From this letter, it sounds as though Esker is experiencing similar outbreaks, yes.
I shall travel to Esker.
Thank you. Would you mind seeing Christopher? He will have a bag of coin for you to make sure that any of your expenses are taken care of.
Certainly, I will see Christopher. Will you still be alive when I will return?
I've lived an extremely long life. I would not mind. It would help to stick around a little longer in order to make sure that the boys know how to run this place almost as good as you do, for since you showed up on my property and you pulled the plow for me, I have never had a single worker who did more for less than you. It just helps an old man to know that there is someone like yourself who is solid and who is here and who is dependable. For that I can never repay you.
I am well constructed.
Yes. He smiles and shakes his head. And he says, if on the off chance that I do expire before you return, perhaps the information you gather can be used to help others.
I would request that you remain alive in my absence, so I may complete this task for you successfully.
Yes, 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 that is wonderful. I will certainly do my best. Until then, I'll have Christopher continuing to bring me glasses of water to...
And he sort of clutches his blanket and kind of rolls to the side.
As I, unfortunately, it seems I've taxed myself with this conversation. Please see Christopher, and good luck, my boy, and thank you.
Thank you, Gerard. I will make haste.
He nods. Yes, yes. Haste, yes. Everyone rushing around.
And he rolls over, and his eyes sort of slow as he murmurs to himself as he passes out.
Four turns to the doorway, and then over his shoulder remarks back to Gerard, "We now have something in common. I, too, cannot drink water."
You can tell he heard you, because he sort of, his head sort of moves a little bit, and he goes, "Oh, yes. Yes, you can't drink water, yes."
As quietly as he can, Four makes his way back out of the abode to find Christopher.
Okay. You do find Christopher. He is staring out into the field where there were some other people working. And as you notice that he's staring out into the field, that's when you start hearing the screams. Would immediately see a bunch of somethings running around, climbing up some of these young men. They're kind of far out into the field, so you can't make out what's going on, but there is a battle out in the middle of the field.
Seeing the commotion, Four would start to trot past Christopher over his shoulder. "Christopher, stay behind," and he will then run out into the field toward the whatever the skirmish is.
Four begins galloping out to the middle of the field, start to notice that there are these figures that are small. They have very thin limbs, and they are spidering around the field and leaping and grabbing on to some of these young men. And you see one of them climbs up to the face of one of them, puts his hands inside, and rips open its jaw. And the kid's jaw just drops open, and then the little creature starts to crawl inside of its mouth, laughing and cackling as it does so. Eva, what are you doing at this moment?
Heading back to my house.
Okay. You get to your house with no problem after your meeting with Toril. You head back inside and you look down at your loom, and the loom has finished doing what it was doing in your absence.
And what, pray tell, is that?
It is black with red writing on it that is extremely similar to the writing that you saw, that you identified as dark speech. Basically, you see as it's an incantation of some sort that has been woven by your loom into your current project.
I will take my fingers and trace the outline of the letters and the loomed stuff and start pronouncing it in my head, trying to get it all together.
What you can gather from running your fingers over this incantation is that it is a very powerful banishment spell.
Uh-oh. Banishment, my character would know, usually banish like devils and demons kind of thing.
I mean, it's nothing that you can probably pronounce yet, but you definitely recognize it from your books as something that has something to do with getting rid of demons.
Just in gameplay, so I know, there is a very distinct difference between demons and devils, correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That candle that I had before, I'm unable to light it, correct?
The particular one that has the coagulated blood in the shape of the flame?
Yes.
I don't know if you're unable to light it or not.
Okay. I don't know if, like, the wick... Alright, so it looks different, but I'm gonna try and light that candle.
I may not have it. It's a candle, but it looks like it's a candle, and the flame is just... It looks like a wax flame of blood, but it's your blood.
Okay.
So, and it's in the shape of the flame.
Alright, I'm going to take the knife that I cut my hand with and cut this loom fabric right off from where it started.
Okay.
So I have this free piece with the incantation on it.
The candle ignites. It's not a flame. The candle itself is not a flame. It is your blood moving like a flame.
Fuck. She's torn whether this is a good thing or a bad thing, so...
Make me an intellect challenge roll with one bane.
All right. So what she's trying to determine in her brain is... Does the Demon Lord want her to destroy this or use it? With one bane? Okay, so she got a plus one. All right, I have 11.
Oh,
because I got it rolled a 12. I have a 2 for the bane, and I have a plus one on my intellect.
And you're trying to you're trying to figure out if the Demon Lord wants you to destroy it right now?
Or use it.
Oh, it wants you to use it.
It wants me to use it. Okay.
But maybe not right now. That's probably about when you hear the first screams. Yeah. You start hearing screams, and there is a man who is running through, and he goes by your house saying, The farm is under attack! The farm is under attack! We need help! We need help! We need help! And he's screaming, and people are glancing back towards the farm.
I am going to take this piece of loom, half-finished loom, and fold it up real nice and plop it in one of my cloak pockets.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to take my candle with me, my ceremonial dagger, and I'm going to throw up my hood and walk out the door. And I think I'm going to go visit my friend Toro Rao.
Just as a side note, the candle, when you pick it up, it is a flame, but it's blood. It's not giving off any heat. It's not giving off any light. It's just your blood.
Okay.
So the blood is dancing like a flame.
Yes, dancing. The blood is dancing like a flame.
I will kiss the candle, not the flame, and say, I will need you in a bit, and I'm going to extinguish it with my hands, with my open wounds.
Oh, okay, cool. Okay, you... grab the flame, and you pluck it right off.
I pluck it off? The flame's in my hand?
Yeah, but it's just, yeah. Now it's not dancing. Now it's just this, like, little wax image of a flame that's made of blood.
I'm gonna go grab one of my brooches from the closet. You know, you can think of the big, round, like, antique-looking brooches with the fancy little dabbles on the side. And I'm gonna press that wax right into it, and I'm gonna clip it like right around my neck.
Oh, very cool. Yeah, that's awesome.
And I'm bringing the candle with me. It's the chaos outside. I open my door.
Yeah, there's people running. There's some people who are running into their homes, but there are some people who seem to have grabbed weapons and are heading out towards the farm.
I think Terrell will probably hear this from where he is, and he'll be okay. So I'm gonna go head that way.
Terrell definitely hears it. Terrell, you hear the same thing.
Terrell's still sitting in his little office, just rewriting all the documents. And
the farm is under attack! The farm is under attack! Help!
He hears that, and he looks at the papers that have the magical words written in them, and he actually closes his eyes and just says out loud, "If only I had the ability to cast magic. What I would give to be able to do that." And then he gets up and he walks out and looks out to see where the actual attack is happening. And he's mostly making sure the attack is not heading towards him.
Give me an intellect challenge roll with a boon.
13.
You're saying these things and your desire is clear and you're running your hand sort of over the page and there's a shimmer and you see it sort of dance along your fingers and along your hand and it sort of climbs up your arm and just sort of slowly disappears as if it ran out of energy or if it was, and it sort of sparks you like, oh, this. So you have that experience and you sort of feel this tingling in your hand.
And Tyrell will just sit there and look at his hand and kind of revel in the feeling. And he just says, I so desire more of this. And that's when he'll be reminded with the noise outside. And he rolls his eyes and looks annoyed and gets up and looks out the window just to make sure that nothing is coming his way and he doesn't need to leave the building right away.
If nothing is coming your way. People are running here to and fro. You see more people who are running towards the farm.
Tyrell will step outside and begin giving commands to those that are large.
Quickly, nice. Go defend the farm.
Sure. Toril, that was it, right? That's your name?
Yes.
Yes, of course. Yes, we'll go. You come too. We need every able-bodied man. And so he thrusts like a... Or you have something in your hand, right? You've got a cane.
I have a staff.
A staff. It says, use that staff. Put that staff to good use. And they all start booking off.
And Tyrell watches him run. Just kind of waves. And he will walk up, but watch from a distance.
Yes. Perfect. Okay. Four. You get to where you're heading, and you see this scene of this little creature beast. Actually, a few of them are just ripping jaws apart and starting to try to climb down the throats of some of these young men. And I'm going to need a will challenge roll from you.
13. 14 with a -1 modifier.
Nice. All right, you're good to go. So you have fast and slow turns. Fast, you can do one thing. You can do a movement. You can do an action. And there's slow turns where you can do a movement and an action. It all depends on where you're, you know, what kind of abilities you have, what kind of spells you have, where you're positioned on the battlefield, where you're positioned in just whatever situation you're in. So I'm willing to say that you were able to get up into this fracas and you could do a fast turn without having to move or whatever.
The first thing Four will do is try to grab one of these demons off one of the closest people. Grab it with his hand and pull it off.
Give me a strength roll to attempt to do this. You have to beat a 13.
Natural 20? And that's a +1 modifier, so 21.
Okay, you're able to grab him, and you see that this the jaw of this kid has been wrenched open, and this thing... It was trying to get into it. It was stretching its cheeks out. And as you grab it, you're able to sort of see now. They have this like slimy quality to them. It seems to be all over their bodies. Its head turns to you, and there's no features on it at all. It is just a straight, flat face. They are sort of this like dark black red coloration with this glistening lube that's all over them. You're able to grab onto it, and it turns to you. And lunges towards you, but what you got yourself over 20, so what do you want to do with that? Do you want to add a little flavor?
So pulling back and seeing the features of this thing, does it still appear to have a grasp on the person?
Well, you succeeded. You were able to rip it off, but it's as it sort of turned, its hands are coming out to you, and you can tell that it has unnatural strength in its limbs, and it's very, you know, very spider-like.
Four is going to attempt to crush it in his hand.
All right, so we'll say that for now, you have it in your grip. So that was your action was basically to rip it free from what it was doing. And we're going to give it a chance. It immediately, its hands start going towards your face. Like you have it, and you have it basically grabbed. But it's going to try to, it's putting its hands on your faceplate, and it's sort of like reaching and finding perch. So I'm going to give it a chance to find purchase. I'm actually going to give it a bane, because you don't have a face. Or you've got a faceplate on, right?
As the head is constructed of this clockwork, the head is literally a helmet like a filigreed, beautiful helmet with a faceplate that's actually like the headpiece. There's nothing underneath the helmet. It's a shaped, molded piece.
All right. Awesome. All right. Well, this isn't going to work out too well for him. But we're going to see what happens anyway. Okay. It's a 15 against your defense.
And my defense is
10.
Body size +2, speed +2, defense -3.
Oh, yes. Okay. So, grabbing onto your faceplate, and it gets its little, you know, slimy fingers underneath like the faceplate, and it's starting to wrench it. And you're going to take yourself 4 points of damage as it's sort of ripping at your face, trying to find a hole to climb in.
All right.
Okay. So, Danny, you're able to come upon this scene, we'll say. And would you like to do a fast turn, or would you like to do a slow turn? The scene is horrific, by the way. I need a will challenge roll.
Okay.
You see jaws being ripped apart. You see things climbing down inside of bodies.
I failed with a 4.
You are now frightened for... Do you have an insanity?
I don't have. I have some corruption, but no insanity.
Okay. You're doing everything with a bane. So you can still do stuff, but you're going to have a bane. So what do you want to do? You see these little slimy, blackish creatures with no faces that are tearing jaws open and climbing into bodies.
I'm going to think to myself that perhaps this is what the Demon Lord sent me this quilting for, if he is the one that did send me that. So I am going to quickly, as I can actually... This is probably not a quick move. This is a slow move. I'm going to whip out my pattern. I am going to cut my hands, trace the symbols, and repeat them out loud.
Okay. All right. I need an intellect challenge roll with 3 banes.
Okay. So if anybody is watching this, you see throwing this pattern on the ground and bent over, tracing the fingers with it, and see the cloak in the back start to tear away on one side as you see this skeletal wing, the tip of a wing popping out of it, as you hear somebody say, "Are they not this? Conocino demon or donate?" Oh my gosh, and I got a fucking negative. So I got a bane of 6 and I rolled a 5.
Nice. Awesome. Okay, so as this fails, what I need from you is a will challenge roll.
With a bane?
Yes.
This is not looking good. I rolled a 3. I got a bane of a 3. So it's a 0 plus my -1. -1.
You're going to take 2 insanity.
Oh, this is the first session.
And you've got all kinds of fear going on. So your banes are... All right. Yeah, you're still frightened. So you still get these banes going forward. You go ahead and try to say these words, and you say what you think they should sound like, but there's this shudder, just like somewhere in the middle of your chest, and there's something hurts, and there's this powerful shockwave that kind of goes through you, and you just huddle up, into like this fetal position.
And as that happens, you full blown see the cloak just drop away as these 2 giant fucking wings come out. And they are flesh torn. It looks like somebody has ripped all the flesh off, like the bottom part, cut off the wings. So it's actually just like the bone structure. And you see them curl around her. It's like a protective kind of, you know, hugging her almost.
Nice. Yep. That's you right now. Toril, are you coming up on this scene? You're moving your way there?
Yep. Like I said, Toril's walking up. He's going to kind of observe. His plan was to take notes of what's going on and see what he could learn from the battle.
Okay, give me an intellect, give me a perception.
That's a 20 total.
That's awesome. There's a copse of trees that are in the background of this scene. And you notice that there is a purple glow that is violently sort of reverberating and bouncing off of these trees. And you can actually see among the trees, there seems to be this tear just in the air. And there's just blackness, darkness, and this bleeding purple, blackish, reddish light that is sort of emanating from it. And you actually might see something just kind of like hops out of it. This little spindly figure hops out of it. And I would like a will challenge roll from you now as well, as this is unsettling.
All right. Ooh, 15.
Perfect. You're all set. You're a smart guy. Give me an intellect challenge roll, too, while we're at it. See if you can...
16.
You're looking at a void breach. So this could be caused by a number of different things, but you come to the quick realization that this is a tear in the fabric of reality, and a fissure has opened up. So we've got demons running around. A few more of the young men are getting their faces ripped off. Some of them have been able to team up and subdue one or two of them, but there's chaos in this wheat field. And I want to head back to Four. Four, what's going on with you? You've got this thing clinging onto your face, trying to rip your faceplate off.
Four will take his left arm, slide the sword blade between his faceplate and the beast, and turn his hand slightly, and then just bisect the beast if he can.
That is awesome. Make me an attack roll.
How do I make an attack roll?
Well, you're going to roll a d20, okay? And you're going to add your strength to that roll?
That is a 9.
That is a 9. Okay. Your sword gets lodged. This grip is so powerful on this thing that has on your faceplate that your sword is there and it's stuck, but it is sort of hindering the way he's trying to rip and tear. So I'll say, you don't cause him any damage, but you've got him sort of like blocked off for now. Eva.
She's regained her composure a little bit as the wings let up and allow her to move freely. She is going to cut the other hand, so she's now bleeding from both hands. Slow turn, and going to try it again. So, what do I have to roll here with a bane?
Well, to speak the words of the incantation, you're going to need, it's 3 banes. So when you have multiple banes, you're rolling 3d6 with your d20. You're adding your modifier, and you're not subtracting all of them. You're just subtracting the highest one.
Okay, that makes me feel a little bit better.
Yeah, no, it's only it just gives you more of a chance to have to subtract a 6.
Okay, what am I using? What skill?
Intellect, please.
Oh! I'm gonna make it because I have an 18 plus 1, which is a 19. Minus 5, so a 14 altogether. And she changes the cadence of it and goes, Are no ne le, and starts to sing it a little bit more. Na te so. She cuts herself and traces it.
You feel as though you've said it correctly, but behind you, you hear a laugh, a very familiar laugh. Silly girl. Just burn it.
Grandma?
You turn and you don't see anyone.
In smiles in the wings now just come out like very proudly, like fan out.
As they fan out, you start to notice some people are starting to notice your crazy bone wings. Toril, what would you like to do or try? You see this void breach.
Do I know any way of sealing a breach?
Why don't you make me, you're still holding those papers, right? You still got your documents? Make me an intellect challenge roll.
10.
So as you're beholding this void breach, the tingle in your fingers sort of begins to climb again, and you look down and there is this white dancing little lights that are lifting off of the paper and it's climbing back up you, and this time they go higher than like halfway up your forearm. They reach your elbow. They climb a little bit more up to your shoulder, and you start to feel that you're able to affect this void breach if you need to. You can channel whatever is happening through the latent energy, this latent magical energy that's on this paper. You could take it, and you can use it.
Tyrell's going to look around the field. He's going to look for the fastest way to get to the breach, but also the safest way. Assuming I see a large mechanical centaur-type creature...
You definitely do. He's right in the middle of it, and he's attracting the attention of a few of these demons, and they are starting to notice him, yeah. Well, one of them's all over his face, got his little fingers inside of its faceplate and ripping at it.
Tyrell is going to head towards the big mechanical centaur, and when he gets there, he's going to simply say, "We need to get over there quickly. I can stop them." And then proceed to try to climb onto his back.
Nice to meet you. Let me mount you.
Yeah.
I think I've said that before.
Iconicon.
Yeah, there you go. Ford, you let this happen? What's going on?
Four is a little distracted right now.
Well, that's probably not going to work out in my favor, is it? You said 10, right?
Yep.
Okay, yeah, I can't. It's still tugging on you. Your sight is going to be impaired as it's all over your face, but it's still tugging on you, and it's not doing any more damage to you. And now there is a scribe's apprentice climbing on your back, who you probably recognize.
The initial reaction of Four is to assume that it's going to be another one of these things on his back, and he's going to rear up on his hind legs, try and use the force of stomping down to also dislodge the one on his face with his sword.
Okay.
So I'll roll an attack.
I like that. Yeah, please do. Then take a boon.
All right, I will take a boon. That's better. 20 total.
So you do some 2d6 damage.
Hello, Akatakon Dice. Good to see you.
Yay!
That's 12.
All right. Oh my god, 12? That's fantastic. All right, yeah. So any particular flavor you want to put on this as you kill it?
So as the centaur, as Four, rears up and then comes back down hard on his front legs, he uses that force to help dislodge the sword and pull it cleanly through the demon.
Oh, yes.
Sending the bottom half of the demon bouncing across the ground, and the top half hangs loosely from his faceplate as he turns to see what's on his back.
One of the hands lets loose, but the other one was very lodged, so the top half of this thing's body is just basically, it's just hanging off of your jaw limply as you're looking around, and you look back to see what's on your back, and it's Toril.
As Four swings to look at, to see what's on his back, that leftover hanging piece of demon kind of flies over his shoulder.
Yeah, it does. And there's some of that little, like, there's some of that goo, the viscera, that flaps off of it.
The viscera, yeah. Kind of goes with it.
It's lube so they can get down throats easier. That's what it is.
So the body and entrails of a slime demon bounce off your chest, Toril?
Toril at the moment is staring very intently on that void breach, and he is focused on that.
All right. And Four, I imagine, are you going to run towards it? Start booking it towards it?
I don't know. Four wasn't paying attention to Toril.
Oh, okay, gotcha.
So
yep.
Four is more surprised to see someone sitting on his back, and if he could give Toril a confused look, he would. The best thing he can do, the best thing Toril is getting, is the faceplate is a little ajar, and Four's head tilts slightly as he's looking at him.
Toril looks at him and picks up his left hand and points with a very long, bony finger and just says, "There. We must go there. I can stop them, but you must hurry."
Four simply says, "Brace yourself," and hauls at a full movement toward the breach.
Eva, you see Four, the centaur clockwork that you've seen around, just start booking it towards the woods, where you notice that there is what you would most likely recognize from your books and images is a void breach that now is visible to you. He's galloping with all haste to get there.
Four's speed is an 11, and I'd like to say this looks simply as if a giant metal object is barreling through this throng of demons, not trying to stop them or hit them. He's literally just moving through them like a hot knife through butter.
So I would like his, because as Eva sees this, you see Toril atop four galloping with all haste, running by the, and these things are grasping, and a couple of them have latched on, and I feel like I would like an agility roll, or, depending on how you're galloping, a might challenge roll, Four, to get through these things, see how many cling on.
Four would not be trying to evade them. He's literally counting on his bulk to simply blow through them. Or at least push them, move them aside, you know, get past them by sheer brute force and speed.
Awesome. And give me a might challenge roll, and then Toril, I would like a agility challenge roll from you to stay atop him and to avoid these things. And
another nat 20 for 4.
You're just galloping and crushing.
14.
You're able to hang on. It looks awesome. You're galloping through these demons. You're crushing them with your hooves. They're slamming up against you. They can't find a grip. Toil is just hanging on, and he's just like, you've known how to ride a horse your entire life. It looks majestic and beautiful. Eva, you see this happen. What are you doing?
Creatures, the rest of the creatures still all around, though, ripping other people apart?
They are still ripping other people apart, but there's a lot of them that have noticed Four galloping towards the void breach with Toril on top of him, riding.
Hopefully that has taken attention off me a little bit as I'm going to try and readjust my cloak and move closer, move away from the general public or where anybody can see me.
Yeah, it wasn't the demons that noticed you. I don't know if I made that clear. It was the people,
villagers.
Okay. Yeah.
So, yeah.
You can do that. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Are we in, like, the edge of the woods, or is it just a big field?
There's a big field before you, and then, there's some woods back there, sure.
Well, I just want to get out of the way of, like, I don't want to be standing in the middle of a barren woods, but I'm going to try and light this thing on fire.
You can be in a place where you feel comfortable that no one is observing you, sure. Everyone is pretty preoccupied with the carnage that's going on.
And I forget what they saw, but you know, at least I'll stay alive for another 2 minutes. All right, so I'm going to attempt to light that candle that I had much success for with.
You go to try to figure out a way to light this thing. You notice there's no wick.
I'll put some of my blood on it. My hands are still bleeding.
Cool. Drip some more blood on it?
Yeah.
You drip some more blood on it, and the blood dances like a flame again.
Let's light this bitch up.
Give me an intellect roll, straight up, and you're lighting the weave on fire.
13, lucky. It was a 12 plus 1, so.
All right, you stick the blood flame up against the weave, and it ignites. It's this half-assed, like, ignition plus, like, a soaking. So the blood just starts to soak into the fibers, but it's spreading like a flame would spread on a garment. You see that the soaking of the blood goes into the fibers, and it starts to go up, and it's consuming this weave. And as it does, you start to see these things out in the field start to screech. Their heads throw back, and then they just explode in these little pops of viscera and blood. And you know, there's one climbing up on one of these guys. It's got its mouth open, and then it's, and it explodes, and blood just covers the guy, and he falls down, and he starts screaming uncontrollably. And one by one, there are these pops, and it's sort of, you have this like image of these pops that are going off, and then Four and Toril just heading towards this void breach. And from behind you again, there's this echoey voice that says, "Oh, well done, you did it. You did it. That's good. Good. Very good."
My concern is my grandmother wanted me to, I got to think this one out. And that, Eva hearing her grandmother say that actually very much disturbs her. And she just like shakes off a fright.
How long has it been since you've seen her?
I'd say like 2 years or so.
Yeah, I would think so. Yeah, right. You've been sort of in hiding here.
Eva's grandmother had been encouraging her to embrace her heritage.
Mm-hmm.
And Eva does not want to do that.
So you basically, you did this thing, and you are in effect destroying these demons, sending them back to hell. Or back to the void, excuse me. Not sending them back to hell, sending them back to the void. For the time being, Four is galloping towards it, and you know, you guys, you can get right up to it. There are some of these demons that are hopping right out of it, and they're trying to claw at you again. And Toril, what are you going to do? There's this, like, irradiation coming out of it. It's just it's these waves of unnatural heat.
Toril gets up there, and he still has that energy kind of flowing through him. And he kind of goes into a little glassy-eyed trance for a second. And he just says, "Dumok on you, Daris, aye." And the energy comes out of his hand and heads towards the breach.
It discharges, and you see the energy intermingling with some of these, you know, energy waves that are coming out of it, and it starts to sort of knit itself back together, and this energy is disappearing, and I would think that this is a very thrilling feeling for you as the void breach itself begins to close as these demons are just popping all around you.
And as soon as the spell ends, Tyrell actually kind of almost collapses onto the back of a four, and he just, you know, very shallow breathing, just, we need to get out of here. And you feel his full body weight right on your back as he's very, very exhausted from the effort.
As forcefully as he can, four over his shoulder applies to Tyrell. Stay conscious. I cannot hold you on and gallop at full speed.
I understand.
With the tear apparently repairing itself, Four turns, levels the sword blade in front of him, and begins to run back through the group of demons.
Yes, yeah. The last of these demons have been popping, and you're able to get through them and get out of the carnage. There are 12 dead bodies. There's another probably between 5 and 10 of these young men who were just covered in blood and just freaking out. It's a pretty disturbing scene, but for now, this attack appears to be over. Eva, what are you doing?
I am going to throw my cloak over myself and take a look around at my bearings right now and see what attraction is happening right around me.
There's just a lot of people running around trying to aid a lot of these kids who are freaking out on the ground. You know, a lot of people asking what the hell just happened, what's going on, all of that. It's pretty hectic.
I am going to run back to my house and grab all my valuables as quickly as I can, because I imagine I'm going to have to leave this town fairly soon.
All right, you do. You start heading back. How about you guys? What's you guys are getting out of there quick. Toril, you're beginning to fade a little bit, as that just took a whole hell of a lot of energy for you.
Tyrell, just say to a four,
please, we need to go to Eva's house. Please take me there.
Hold on. And four turns in the direction he believes Eva's hovel to be, and begins to gallop in that direction.
Yep, you can absolutely gallop in that direction. Eva, you're running back to your home as well. They've got you had a little bit of a head start on them, and you start to see that there is a gathering that is a little down the walkway, and there are some very raised voices and some panicked cries from someone in the middle of this crowd.
In front of my house, directly.
It's down the street a little bit, but someone is attempting to gather people up to get a message out.
Esker! Esker is under attack! We need help! Esker is under attack! There's something there! I don't know what it is! It's killing everyone!
I'm gonna ignore it and keep on going to my house.
Okay, yep, yeah, you can get into your house. You slam the door behind you and you hear the woman in the back. Esker's under attack! And you guys can get there probably like right after, a little while after her, and you hear the same thing. Esker is under attack.
I must go to Esker.
Esker? No, you go to Esker, you're going to die. There is something there. It's massive. It's sweeping people up. And she is really struggling to find the words about what she saw. But she clearly has just booked nonstop to get here, just trying to escape what's ever happening in Esker right now.
Please take a moment to breathe and explain.
It's sweeping people up by the dozens and just consuming them. It's grotesque.
Do you know what it wants?
I think it just wants to eat.
Then I would have to confer. Going there would be a bad idea.
Well, I was trying to escape. I made it out. I think we all need to either head south, or I don't know. I'm not sure what happened to High Watch, but this, whatever this is, it got through somehow.
Why do you have to go there for?
I have made a commitment to Gerard. A cure for his condition may be found in Esker.
I'm not sure what will be left if you plan on traveling there, but I don't advise it, unless you're trying to help people get out of there.
Perhaps his cure can be found elsewhere.
She sort of like turns and is just imploring people, just trying to get the warning out that it's not safe to stay. This thing is possibly moving. Just consume as many lives as possible.
Do I have any idea of what this thing might be?
Just from what you've experienced, it sounds like it could possibly be just some sort of demon that's released from another void breach somewhere, just because it happened here.
Well, for I would say that a larger demon has come through a much larger breach. I don't have the strength to do the same there.
And Eva, as you're inside your house, you hear once again this familiar voice, your grandmother. You see in the shadows in the corner, you see a little bit of movement, and then light is the face of your grandmother. And she looks up and she says, "Now, how did that feel?"
Grandma? Grandma, is that you?
It is. You did very well. I suppose now you're ready.
I don't want to harm the demons. I want them to help me.
You can't really hurt them, dear. But you've taken your first steps. I have so much to tell you.
But, Grandma, I don't want to go to hell.
Well, we all have to go somewhere, my dear. When it's our time.
Tales of Blood and Stone is played using the Shadow of the Demon Lord system by Schwalb Entertainment. For more information, delve into the darkness at schwalbentertainment.com. If you enjoyed the music you heard during this episode, head over to battlebards.com for even more.